our broadcast today. We're in John chapter 3, one of the most familiar chapters in the Bible. Stay tuned. Broadcast, we saw that the Lord was at the temple. He took a whip in there and he caused quite a scene. And as we get to the end of that chapter, we read in verse number 23 that many believed in his name. Many believed. Now, a lot of times many believed because of the miracles. There was no miracle here, but there certainly was a message. And maybe if we get preaching like Jesus preached and take in the same attitude about the church that he took about the temple, maybe we have more people believing too. It says many believed. But it says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Well, this man was of the Pharisees, and they controlled the spiritual things. And being a ruler of the Jews, it was most likely that he was a member of the Sanhedrin. In verse number 2, we read, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, you notice the difference here. He's focusing on the miracles and all of the excitement that's going on as a result of these miracles. Now, the same, it says, came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? Because he didn't want people to see him. I think it's very obvious. In John chapter 7, verse 50 and 51, it talks about Nicodemus, and it refers to him as the one who came to Jesus by night. In John chapter 19 and 39, came to Jesus by night. Say, man, why does God make this reference to him? What's the big deal about it, except that he didn't want everybody to see him? Because he was probably a member of the Sanhedrin, and he definitely was one of those that was sent by the Pharisees. And he says here, "We know." We know. What is this "we" thing? What do you know, Nicodemus? No, he's not there representing himself. He's there because he's come by night. Let's not make a scene here. Let's not be seen with Jesus. And so he comes and he says, "We know. We know." Now we see he focuses on the miracles. Those that believe that we read about in verse number 23 of the last chapter, they focused on the message. Big difference here. So he says in verse 2, "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Yeah, we like that teacher thing. They're ready to accept the teacher come from God. There's a big difference between the teacher and the preacher. A teacher makes no demands. He's just going to teach you some more stuff and you can get more proud about what you know about the Bible. No, there's more to it than that. Jesus not only was a teacher, but Jesus was a preacher of righteousness. Well, Jesus said basically in verse number 3, "Nicodemus, let's just cut through the chase here, all right?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Except a man be born again. That has been translated, that word "except" has been translated, if not, 16 times. If you're not born again, you're not going to heaven. Born again, Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so he says, verily, verily. When you see those two words together, it means you better pay attention. Sometimes it says verily, that's important. When you see verily, verily, you know it's very, very important. Well, in verse 3, he said, "You cannot see the kingdom of God." What is the kingdom of God here? There's been a lot of ink wasted on this subject about the kingdom of God. It's very simple. It is always explained in its context. It is only seen in this one time in all of the book of John, which focuses on being saved. And he said you could only see this kingdom if you're born again. If it was talking about the literal kingdom for Israel, the Roman soldiers could see that. Anybody could see that, whether they were saved or whether they weren't saved. But the only time we have this word kingdom in all of the book of John is on a subject about trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and therefore it's talking about going to heaven or not going to heaven. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then that word can be translated perceive. You can't perceive anything to do with God's kingdom if you're not saved. Well, in verse number 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, we have proof positive here that Nicodemus was not a saved man. He was head of the part of the Sanhedrin. He was of the Pharisees and the ruler of the Jews, but he wasn't saved. He couldn't perceive anything. He's thinking totally physical here. Enter my mother's womb and be born again. He has absolutely no idea about anything spiritual. Well, Jesus said in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, there you have those two words again, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Well, there's some that teach the nonsense that this water has something to do with being baptized, and if you're not baptized, you can't be saved. Well, that means everybody before John, the Gospel of John here, was not saved. They weren't getting baptized. The thief on the cross, he couldn't have possibly been saved. And Paul, when he led that Philippian jailer to the Lord, he says, all you need to do is believe. He didn't say you need to believe and be baptized. Then Paul even said later on in 1 Corinthians 1 and 14, I thank God I baptized none of you. We wouldn't have said that if you had to be baptized in order to be saved. It is very obvious, even with a casual study of the Scriptures, that the water represents the Word of God. James chapter 1 and 18, for instance, says, by his own will begat he with the Word of truth. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again by the Word of God. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the Word. It's representing the Word of God. Now, it says here you need to be born by the Word of God and the Spirit. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God are always in complete harmony with each other. And so, in verse number 6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Nicodemus, you're talking silly here. You can't enter into your mother's womb and be born again. That's flesh. We're talking about spiritual things, which, of course, Nicodemus didn't understand it at all. The first mention about the Spirit that we have in the Bible is says that the Spirit of God moved, and that is in the creation story. Well, the world was in darkness, it says, and the Spirit of God moved, and the first thing we read there in Genesis 1 was, let there be light, and the second thing we read is, there was light, and then we read, God said 10 times. There you have the Word. And so you have the Spirit and the Word working together right there in the creation of the world, and exactly the same thing is true when a person receives Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So he says to Nicodemus and to you and I, marvel not, verse 7, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Now he goes on to explain it to him, and it's an interesting thing that here we have Jesus. He is talking to Nicodemus at night. No doubt he has had a very long day. The Lord has. He's tired, but he's not too tired to talk to someone about his eternal destiny. And so he begins to explain it to him a little bit, and he says in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He said, you can't explain the wind. He says, thou canst not tell. You don't know. The wind is a mighty force, or sometimes it's just a very soft breeze blowing through the trees. Sometimes it can be a tornado and just take everything in its path. Another time it's just a mild breeze that's very, very refreshing. But we have no control over the wind. The wind comes and the wind goes, and he said that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. You can't explain the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the influences that the wind is having, and the same thing is true with the new birth. Well, in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Here's this ruler of the Jews. Here's this leader of spiritual things as a Pharisee. And spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. But he had no spiritual discernment, and neither did most of the people that Jesus was talking to. Spiritually, he said, destroy this temple. Destroy this temple. He was talking about spiritual things. He was talking about the crucifixion. They said, 46 years it took to build this temple. See, they're thinking physical. The Bible talked about living water in John chapter 4. And the woman says, where'd you get this water? This well is deep, and you don't even have a pail to draw the water with. They're thinking, right again, got to be thinking about physical things instead of spiritual. He talked about living bread in John here, and they didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And when Jesus talked about the new birth, Nicodemus said, how can I get my mother's womb and be born again? All they do is think about things that are physical. How can these things be? Because spiritual things are only spiritually discerned. So this ignorant leader in Israel has no discernment, and there's none so blind as those who will not see, who will not discern, who will not stop and let the Holy Spirit work with their spirit and bring the discernment that is necessary in order to be saved. And exactly the same thing is true with us as Christians. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. He doesn't talk to that old nature. He doesn't talk to the brain. He doesn't talk to our mind, our will, our emotions. He speaks to our spirit, and if we will let him do that and then get honest about what he wants us to do in life, then life would be a lot better. Well, in verse number 10, we read, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You're a master and you don't know. It's a straightforward rebuke to this man. And so in direct contrast to Nicodemus not knowing these things, how can we know these things? Verily, verily, Jesus said in 11, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I think it's very interesting that this is in the plural. He said, me and these disciples here, we speak what we know. We know. And you don't know these things. Get it straight, all right? You might be religious, you might be in the Sanhedrin, you might be a Pharisee, but you're on the road to hell. You don't know what you need to know in order to be saved. Lots of people like that in the world today. And so in verse 11, Jesus said, ye receive not our witness. Ye, you Pharisees, you Sanhedrin group, you receive not our witness. Who? Christ and his disciples. Well, life is the outcome of our choices. It's just that simple, and our choices always bring consequences, and in this case, their consequences brought spiritual stupidity is what it brought. He said in verse 12, if I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Earthly things and heavenly things. What are the earthly things? Well, it has to do with our basic walk on this earth. Heavenly things, you find that phrase three times in the Bible, in Hebrews 8 and 5. It's referred to as a shadow of heavenly things, and he talks about Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. He says to Moses, I met with you on the mountain, I gave you the pattern, I gave you some heavenly things here, not just talking about this everyday basic walk, we're talking about building the tabernacle. And so in Exodus 40 and 1, it says, God spake unto Moses, and he said, thou shalt, he said that 20 times in chapter 40, this is how I want you to do it. And Leviticus 17:11 says, Moses did as the Lord commanded him, so did he. So we're talking about earthly things, just the basic walk around this old world, or we're talking about getting on with heavenly things and doing something for God, like building the tabernacle that Moses was going to do. But if we won't listen to the basic things, then we'll just sentence ourselves to be spiritually stupid, and we're not going to be getting involved in the heavenly things. And so the Lord said to Nicodemus, the verse here that is probably the most familiar verse in the entire world, in John chapter 3 and verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see. 'Twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow? By giving all, would you have him save you so that you can never fall? Let him have his way.